is Bob Keebler, and today I'm interviewing Attorney Steve Oceans on the new Nevada charging order statutes. Steve, this is an incredible bill, and it was just signed by your governor in Nevada. Explain to the listeners and to me what a charging order is and why this is such an important issue.
Sure, Bob. Thank you. Charging orders have become a hobby of mine in the sense that I've now written or rewritten Nevada's charging order laws three times with the passage of this new charging order bill that is effective October 1st, 2011. A charging order is essentially just a lien. So what that means is if you put your assets into a charging order protected entity, like a limited liability company or a limited partnership, for example, and somebody gets a judgment against you personally, can they take the assets that are in the business entity? And the answer is, under Nevada law, they cannot. All they can get is a charging order or lien, which means that they have a piece of paper that says if you make a distribution from the entity, then they get that distribution, but they cannot force you to make a distribution. So it's almost a worthless piece of paper, which is what protects the assets from the creditors of the members or partners of the business entity.
So why is it so important to be in Nevada, and what are the changes you made to the Nevada statutes? I know one of them is this exclusive remedy for single-member LLCs. What prompted you to make all these changes, Steve?
Well, starting with the single-member LLC portion of the changes, what prompted that was that there have now been four cases in other jurisdictions that I'm aware of where a single-member LLC, meaning an LLC owned by only one person, was not restricted to the charging order as the exclusive remedy of a judgment creditor. And we want to make sure that it's the exclusive remedy because we don't want the judge to come in and come up with additional remedies which will stop the LLC or limited partnership from protecting the assets. Two of these four cases got quite a lot of press. The first one was the Ashley Albright case out of Colorado in 2003. That's the one that first made my ears perk up and made me start thinking about this issue. And the most recent one was the Olmstead case in Florida in early 2010, and that one has seemed to have gotten even more press than the Ashley Albright case, which seems to have been forgotten. There have been a lot of articles about the Olmstead case, so as soon as the Olmstead case came out, I rewrote our statute and I put in language saying that it also includes a single-member LLC in order to stop the judges from trying to judicially create exceptions to the statutes.
So you also drafted some language into this bill about equitable remedies. What is an equitable remedy, and why is this language so important?
Yeah, that the equitable remedies really gives Nevada a leg up on just about every one of the other state statutes. In fact, Nevada, as of October 1st of this year, will now be the number one asset-protected statute for LLCs, LPs, and corporations. Equitable remedies are essentially the end around that the judge will use in order to find for a plaintiff where the judge feels that the defendant has wronged the plaintiff, but the actual statutes do not give a legal remedy that the judge feels does what it needs to do in order to punish someone who really did wrong. So what the judge will do is look at the legal remedy and see that that is insufficient, such as the charging order being the exclusive remedy, and then the judge will find a way around it, such as reverse veil piercing or an alter ego type of theory or constructive trust. They will find some way to get to the result that probably is the right result, assuming you do have a really bad defendant and not just someone who unfortunately was sued for nothing. And the judge will find a way to get the assets over to the plaintiff. So what I did is I took the language that I felt was the best in this respect, which was in the South Dakota charging order statutes, and I took it nearly word for word, and I put it into the Nevada statutes for LLCs, limited partnerships, and corporations. So not only do we have the single member protection that only Wyoming and Nevada now have, but I then took the best equitable remedy protection language out of South Dakota in order to make Nevada just a little bit ahead of Wyoming as the number one state starting in October of this year.
So, Steve, a couple of questions. One is, so if I'm sitting here back in Wisconsin, let's say with 50 apartment buildings in 50 different LLCs, I still have the issue of equitable remedies and possibly single-member charging order problems. If I drop those LLCs into a Nevada LLC, I set up some additional protection for myself, don't I?
You do set up some additional protection. You might set the LLC up in Nevada as the holding company for the 50 Wisconsin single-member LLCs. However, I do want to make it 100% clear that it's not clear which law will ultimately apply. As far as I am aware, there are only two cases where the judge has applied the charge and order laws of the state where the action was brought, which would essentially negate going and forum shopping like we're doing. So given that there are two states that have done that, or two cases that have done that, I can't say for 100% certainty that it's going to help, but it certainly will act as a very big shield and will probably make a plaintiff want to think twice before trying to file a lawsuit, or at least will influence a much more favorable settlement for our clients. So given that there are two cases out there, I can't give 100% certainty, but certainly every time you put up another buffer between the assets and the creditor, you are going to frustrate that creditor a lot more than not putting up that extra wall. So it's definitely worth it to try and forum shop and set up the Nevada holding company.
And Steve, what are you telling clients about how do I take advantage of these new laws? What are you advising clients on this?
It will depend how their assets are currently structured. Each person is going to be on a case-by-case basis. If they don't have anything in place right now and they just have some investment assets, for example, like a stock or bond portfolio, then we just set up a brand new Nevada LLC and put those assets into that LLC. If they have an ongoing business that has been established as an entity in another state and they want to switch it over to Nevada, then we can do a domestication or statutory conversion, which is where we do a filing in Nevada and in the state that it's coming from, and that's a very easy way to switch it over without getting in the way of an ongoing business because the tax ID number doesn't change. So that's a simple way to do it, and then if for whatever reason we can't do that because of the state that it's coming from, we might look at doing a tax-free merger into a Nevada entity. So those are just a few of the examples of how we might give our clients the benefits of the Nevada law, and certainly there's the holding company idea that we just talked about as well. So there are a number of ways we can do it. It just depends on the fact pattern.
And even corporations, so this is broad, I know this is redundant, but I want to emphasize this. This is broader than just LLCs. I mean, this also makes changes in the corporation area. And what I want to emphasize there is if I have a business that's here in Wisconsin, I could either do an F reorganization and change it to a Nevada corporation, or I could drop it into a holding company. I may pick up some extra protection if I'm concerned about that. Is that overly simplified?
No, that's a very, very good simplification of what the rule is. What is fascinating about Nevada law, in addition to what we've already discussed, is that Nevada is the only state that exists that makes the charging order the exclusive remedy for a corporation. That's amazing, and I don't see a lot of people taking advantage of that, but that has been on our books in Nevada since 2007, and what I changed in the 2011 session for the corporations is that I made that apply to a single shareholder corporation. Up until This year, you had to have at least two or more shareholders, but less than 100 shareholders to get that advantage. I changed it so a single shareholder corporation is limited to the charging order. There's no equitable remedies that can apply. However, there's one exception for corporations only, and that is that in the negotiation, we had to leave in the alter ego equitable theory as possibly applying for corporations. Therefore, for that reason, I think you're better off trying to do LLCs and LPs rather than a corporation. So if you wanted the corporate income taxation, for example, or you already had a Wisconsin corporate S corporation, you can convert it to a Nevada LLC taxed as an S corporation. So it's a tax-free conversion, but you use the LLC charging order rather than the corporation charging order just because of that one equitable remedy, alter ego, which could apply, and I'd rather avoid that issue if at all possible.
Steve, this has been a very insightful analysis, and on behalf of Lineberg Information Services, I just want to thank you today for joining us and providing your expertise on the changes to Nevada law.
Thank you very much, Bob.